KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akkwan. The Tlinedi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. The tidelands where our studios sit are now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots, but they were once an embarking point for fishing and hunting grounds, and to gatherings in other villages, and a place where children played on the beaches and learned to row in the harbor. In sharing this history, KTOO hopes to honor the ancestors and the descendants of the Akkwan. We realize those families who have never relinquished their ownership and stewardship of the land and waterways and continue to cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront for today and for future generations. We'd also like to take a moment to say thank you to the individuals who helped us craft our daily land acknowledgement. Gunash Cheesh to Vera Starboard, who planted the idea of making it super place specific and guided us on pronunciation. Lillian Petershore, who created so much of the beautiful structure. Ishmael Hope, who gave additional ideas, and Ernestine Hayes, Bob Sam, and Fran Houston, who also gave important feedback. We are grateful to all those offering guidance as we grow as an organization. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. It's the first week of the month and time for our check-in with the Juno Police Department. So joining me now is Lieutenant Jeremy Weske. Welcome back to the show, Lieutenant.
Thanks, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being here today. So I would like to kick things off by asking about one of your dispatchers, because I understand they recently really went above and beyond to help a mom in need. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. It got posted recently because she got a stork pin, which is something that you get as a dispatcher if you deliver a baby on the phone, but it actually happened back in March. A friend called in, her friend was having a home birth, and there was some concern for the baby's health as it was being delivered. And the dispatcher, I listened to the audio of it. They were super calm, collected, walked the friend and the mom through the process. And within, you know, a minute, the baby had come out, was starting to breathe and turn purple and look great. And you could just kind of hear the joy and emotion and the relief on the call from the mom and the friends who were there. It's certainly a unique and rare experience for dispatchers, and it was really neat to be able to listen to. I'm happy that went so well.
Right, and so shout out to Alex Vicario for her actions there. How did she know what to do and what to say and what to advise?
Oh well, first of all, our dispatchers have some extensive training. They spend months and months in training. Part of that is going over these worst case scenarios. Going through talking someone through CPR, talking someone through childbirth. And then on top of it, they have cards that are made for them that they can flip to in the event of an emergency. And that card runs them through the main talking points, the main things they need to focus on, so they can guide someone along. What that card doesn't do, which our dispatchers do a great job of, is maintaining their composure. You know, that card can't tell you to maintain your composure, and that's a very stressful situation. I got a little amped up just listening to it, and to listen to her just remain completely calm was really impressive.
Yeah, it really made me appreciate the level of stress that dispatchers must face every shift, because all of the calls that they get are someone who's having an emergency. So I don't know how they hold up under that kind of pressure.
I would have to agree. It's amazing.
Well, I'm happy it all worked out, and so congrats to all. And I'm happy that Alex was honored with the stork pin. I thought that was really cool. I didn't know that was a thing that dispatchers got when they helped deliver a baby. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, me too.
Turning now to the next item on your list. Sounds like we've got some bad guys out there posing as JPD officers trying to scam folks out of their money. What's up with that?
Yeah, I think for a while here, we've all been experiencing some scam phone calls, some scam texts. Recently, they have taken the step of starting to impersonate JPD officers. So we just want to remind people of a couple things. One, the Juno Police Department will never call you, will never text you asking for money. There is no function here where we would call you and demand money. That same thing goes for a lot of other organizations that are being spoofed in these scams. You know, the IRS will ask you for money, but not in the way that's happening in the scams. Certainly when you're asked for money, it's not going to be in the form of gift cards or anything like that. A lot of these scams have to do with sending somebody gift cards or wiring somebody money. If you see anything like that, if you get any texts, any phone calls that seem out of the blue, you should be trying to look up a number for that organization online, whether that's the Chino Police Department or a national organization or your bank, and call them on your own accord and see if you can verify that information. The spoofs are getting really sophisticated. The scams are getting sophisticated. They're starting to look more realistic. I know that I've seen some personally that are starting to look a little more realistic. And so the best bet is if you aren't expecting a call like that, you should verify it before you engage with that. And even before you click any link that you get in a text message or anything like that, just try and get a number that you find yourself, call that number and verify.
And just a reminder to everyone that Chief Ed Mercer does not speak with a Southern accent.
Yes, that's a great point. He does not.
I read that online. Somebody tried to fake Ed Mercer. That was a dead giveaway. At least it would be for me, but maybe not everyone's talked to him.
That's true.
Next up, in October, we observe a number of events. It's Filipino History Month, and it's also National Pedestrian Safety Month, which is one of the things I think you wanted to discuss today. What is the message for the public from Juneau Police Department during Pedestrian Safety Month?
Yeah, I think this is a good time for a reminder. We have unfortunately had a few pedestrian-involved collisions lately, and we're getting into the darker days of the year, of course, and so our safety measures become all the more important as it gets darker outside. A lot of these are common sense, but just the main things that we would tell people is, one, be cognizant of what you're wearing. If you're wearing all dark clothing, you're going to be really hard to see. If you have the ability to wear something reflective, that, of course, is preferable. But if you're in dark clothing and you don't have something reflective on, be all the more aware that you're near impossible to see at night, especially if you're in an unlit area. If you're going to cross the street, make sure you're using a crosswalk, preferably a lit crosswalk. If you're in a crosswalk that has a button that you can push to activate the lights above it, use that. Don't just cross in the crosswalk without them. Those lights go a long way to making sure drivers are paying attention to you. And then one thing that I do for myself, if I'm crossing the street, one thing that I tell my kids to do is, even if you have the right of way, even if you are at that crosswalk, before you step into the roadway, make sure that you make eye contact with the drivers and get acknowledgement that they're going to let you pass. The problem being a pedestrian is you may have the right of way, but you're going to lose the battle every time if you get hit by a car. So take the extra second, stop, make sure they're paying attention to you, and then cross the roadway. And I would also say to drivers, be careful. Don't be distracted, whether that's, texting is the one that we hear most about, but you can be distracted by being on a phone call. You can be distracted by talking to your passengers. You can be distracted because you're pretending that you're trying out for The Voice and singing your heart out in the car. So just be extra aware when you're making turns. Make sure you're checking crosswalks before you make that turn, and just be careful.
Do you have a favorite high-vis item or combination of items or something that you think is particularly effective that you would recommend?
You know, the easy button is, a lot of sneakers now come with reflective pieces to them. We give out little stickers and clips and things to put on backpacks for kids. I've seen some people wearing coats that... they look like a ghost. They lit up so bright. It was pretty impressive. I don't really have anything specific, but a lot of our gear now comes with some reflective material. And if nothing else, just grab one of those tags and put it on yourself.
Sure. Yeah. I also would add that a light up collar for your dog is a good idea as well.
That's a great idea. Agreed.
I remember when I very first started working here at KTOO, a colleague from my former job called me up one night and she was begging me to get a PSA in rotation about pedestrian safety. And it was a dark, rainy night and I had just driven home myself. It was right after 5 o'clock. There was a lot of car traffic and foot traffic and it was very difficult to see. So I imagine as a public safety officer, a law enforcement officer, you probably get a lot of feedback like that.
Yeah, we do. And I mean, we know from driving ourselves, so you get that rain, which is unfortunately not uncommon here in Juneau. And you're getting blinded by other headlights in the road, and it just can be really difficult to see. So definitely a good reminder for everybody, drivers and pedestrians alike.
I agree. And finally, last but not least on your list today, Juneau JPD unclaimed property. So what is that and what do you do with it?
So if we have unclaimed property, the unclaimed property sits for 4 months. If we know who the owner is, we'll send a letter to that person, at least to an address that we can find, to let them know we have the property. After 4 months, if that unclaimed property is under $100 in value, it is put aside for destruction. If it's over $100 in value, it gets put up for auction. The list of items that are going to be up for auction will be sent out kind of the same way we do for a vehicle auction. So we'll put out an announcement about it. It'll be on our website. You'll be able to look at the property. And then it goes to auctions. Some things that are a little different are bikes. So if we have unclaimed bikes, those may go to a nonprofit organization. Firearms, they're dealt with a little bit differently. But also if you are the finder of property and you turn it into JPD, you can put in a claim for it as well. I believe the process includes writing a letter to the chief of police asking to be considered the owner of the unclaimed property. And then a decision has to be made by the chief as to whether that will be honored. I know that happens a fair amount with bikes. Of course, cash is the other most common unclaimed property by the finder, but there is a process for that too.
Very interesting. All right. Well, thanks for the overview of JPD unclaimed property. That's good to know, I guess, for anyone who has turned something in or might have had something turned in on their behalf. So, Lieutenant Jeremy Wesky, thanks so much for taking the time to give us an update for the month of October. Is there anything else you want to share with our audience before we say goodbye?
Actually, one thing back to the unclaimed property that I forgot to mention, if you are missing something, the more detailed you can be with your description when you call in to ask if we have it, the more helpful that is. So serialized items, if you have a serial number, for your phone, if you have an IMEI number, those are both important things. And you can generally get the IMEI number through your provider. And we have, unfortunately, a lot of iPhones and other types of phones. And so if we don't have something identifying about it, that becomes more difficult. And then I don't know if we have time, but it was Suicide Prevention Month last month, and I wouldn't mind just talking about it for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
So a couple of things I just wanted to discuss or to mention. It had to do with our youth. I talked to Aaron Surma, who's with NAMI, and he had a couple of things that he thought would be good to pass along, and I agree. One is if you have firearms in your home, the best thing you can do with those is to lock them and get them away from an area where youth can get a hold of them. If you need gun locks, they have some available and you can contact the Juneau Suicide Prevention Coalition to get those. They'll give those out to you. If you have a student who is high school aged and they want to talk to somebody, there are free therapists through the Teen Health Center. If they're under 18, they do need to have your parental permission, but that's a great service that the health center provides for students who may need someone to talk to. And then if you're looking for help or just looking for some resources, JunoMentalHealth.org is a website that you can go to. It's updated regularly and lists organizations and individuals here in town who provide mental health services. So that's a good resource for people. And that was JunoMentalHealth.org. And then lastly, this was from Aaron, is talking about issues like suicide is helpful. So it can sometimes be a conversation that we don't want to have, especially with our with our children, or it can just be a little uncomfortable to start, but it's okay to talk about it. It's good to talk about it, and it can foster further communication if someone is suddenly feeling like they're depressed or they may want to hurt themselves. Knowing that that door has been open for them to talk about it is really helpful and may lead them to seek out some help before they make a terrible decision.
Thank you for the reminder of all of the those are all really great points, and thank you also as well for the reminder about the resources that our community has access to.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate that. Well, thank you again, Lieutenant Jeremy Wesky, Juneau Police Department. I find your Facebook page to be really informative if I'm looking, you know, for what's going on with Juneau Police Department. And you guys have a non-emergency number you can call as well. So thanks again so much for coming in this month and giving us that update.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.